so enjoyed being here. This is our first time to South Africa, first time to the African continent. It's been a dream of ours for many years, and so thank you for having us, and we are just so looking forward to seeing what else God is going to do in the future together. I just want to just take a few moments and just release some things about accessing the Father. You know, Pastor Steve was just releasing a, you know, just really the revelation of what I wanted to go after today, that, you know, God gives us this wonderful grace. He's poured it out freely. You know, and if you've raised, sometimes we get in a grace culture and we get a revelation that it's all been taken care of for me. God didn't take care of everything for us that we could just, you know, just access the goodies of heaven and go about our way. He actually released grace so that we could access Him freely. It was about a relationship that He was after. And there is two sides to the relationship. He took the initial and most difficult step. He paid the price. You know, in the garden, God lost something. It wasn't just about us. God lost what He created us for. He lost a relationship with us. And He wanted to get that back. Now, God never stepped away from the relationship, but what happened when sin entered into the world? Shame came with sin. Adam and Eve covered themselves and hid from God. And ever since then, humanity's been running from the relationship that God created us for. God always found people in His generation, in every generation, the Enochs, the Davids, the Daniels, the Moseses, the Abrahams, that broke through and said, yeah, we want to have that relationship with You. They actually accessed grace before Jesus paid for it. Hebrews 11 talks about them. Hebrews 11 is not about some faith in faith's sake. Hebrews 11 was Enoch accessed God by faith. He understood the grace of God, that it wasn't his effort that got him into the place of God, but that God had won him already, God already wanted a relationship with him. David understood this. David created a 24-hour-a-day place of worship and praise to access the Ark of the Presence, which anyone before then would touch the Ark of the Presence, they'd be immediately killed. David understood this relationship with God, and God created you for relationship with Him. Personally, the King of all kings gave you access to come and be with Him at any time, boldly approach His throne at any time. This is not a governmental building, a cold building. This is not a stone statue high above that you approach with fear and trembling. This is a house. This is a family. This is a dad that you have access to, that you are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 says, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, Christ paid. When you say yes, you got put up into the heavenlies in Christ. You are seated in daddy's lap right now. But most of us have no revelation of that, and so we're not having the relationship He wanted us to have. You can access Him all the time, 24 hours a day. You can have this wonderful, amazing relationship with the King of all kings. This is a two-sided relationship. God wants something. God gives something. He wants something. You know, my son and my daughter, you know, my wife and I work really hard at giving our kids good things. We're always listening to their needs and the things that they need to feel loved. If they need an encouraging word, if they need a gift, if they need quality time, you know, if they need to just wrestle with them or go out and get a drink together and just have some time together, ride bikes, wrestle with them, you know, whatever it is, we're always working to listen and pay attention because we love our children. How many of you know as parents, you love your kids? But how many know you are also meant to be loved by your kids? We had a heart-to-heart talk the other day with our kids because sometimes a relationship can get a little one-sided. Sometimes children can get a little selfish. They didn't want to go somewhere with mommy and daddy because they wanted to do their thing with their friends. And we're very sensitive to the things that they want to do with their friends. We're not overly, we work really hard to make sure that tank is full. Their love tank is full. And we just sat down and had a talk with them. Kids, this relationship is not just about you. There is a mutual care. You need to start caring for mommy and daddy. These are some things that are on our heart to do. See, we have been given access to the Father. You know, Dad actually misses you, even though you're sitting in his arms. Most people don't realize they're sitting in his arms, so they're down here in La La Land wondering, oh, I can't hear anything, I'm not special. You're sitting in the arms of the King of Kings right now, you ain't going anywhere. Just waiting for you to lay back. Ah, hi Dad, how you doing? Oh son, it's so good to hear from you. I miss you. Well, we know we're with them always, but in the same sense. Why would the Lord talk in Revelation 2 and 3? You're doing all this wonderful stuff for me, but you lost your first love. It's not about going to heaven and not going to heaven. You're going to heaven, but you lost. I didn't create just for you to go to heaven. I created you to enjoy heaven in the process. And heaven is God. Heaven's not a philosophy. Heaven's not a concept. Heaven's not something to make you feel better getting through this difficult world. Heaven is something you access every day, and it's the relationship with the Father. The kingdom's not a concept. The kingdom's a person. And that person opened the door through Jesus Christ and created the way so you could have access to him at any time. In his house are many rooms that he created for you. And they're not created for you on the sweet by and by. They're for you right now to come into. Those rooms are in the Father. You're in the Father. Heaven's not up there. Heaven's within. You can access those rooms anytime. And those rooms are all different parts of God's heart. All different parts of God. Joy is a part of God. You can access that room anytime you need to. It's God. God is joy. Joy is not an emotion and a concept. Joy is a person. God wants you to enjoy him and be overwhelmed by his joy for you. It's a relationship, but you have to access it. The key has been given to you. Matthew 16, Peter, you know, he says, oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's how you get the keys of the kingdom. You got the revelation that I'm the king, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. And now you have the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? They're access to God through Jesus. And now Jesus is inside of you. You never have a distance to get into that relationship. The relationship's always within you. The way is inside of you. You're not going to heaven. Heaven is within. God is within. You don't have to boldly approach the throne like there's distance. You boldly approach the throne inwardly. You go inwardly and connect with the Spirit of God who's in your belly. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. You don't have any distance to go. You don't have to have someone lay a hand on you. You need to lay a hand on yourself. You need to get filled with the Spirit. Put your hand on your belly. Put your hand on your head. Oh, I receive right now. Holy Spirit. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Oh, I feel you. You're so wonderful. You're with me always. Whoa. That's not a joke. It's actually the truth. You have a well of living water, unending water. You don't have a bucket that runs dry and you got to keep going somewhere to get it. You have an unending source inside of you, the King of all kings who never runs dry, inside of you. Living water, life. He's given you so much to access. For through him, Ephesians 2:18 says, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus. He wants to show you, oh, every day his kindness, his goodness, his overwhelming love. And it's as easy as you saying, hi, Dad. Him going, okay, let's go for it. I'm going to take you on an adventure. But he won't take you on the adventure until you say, hi, Dad. He paid. It's not your effort. It's not your toil to get there. It's not your prayer. It's not how long you do it. It's not how good you are. But you still have to access it. You still have to boldly approach the throne. Sometimes we have a victim mentality towards fathers. Well, the father doesn't love me. Those fathers don't love me. My dad doesn't love me. People don't love me. My leaders don't love me. The fathers, you know. It's going, I created access, but the relationship still is two-sided. I took so many initial steps, for God so loved the world. For He first loved us. He first demonstrated His love. I mean, the Lord wakes me up in the morning with a song in my head. That's the Spirit of Jesus initiating the relationship with me. But I have to respond by hearing it and knowing God's primary language is not English. And understand how He speaks to me and respond to Him if I want that encounter to grow. I have angelic encounters all the time. You remember the passage about Moses? He sees a burning bush. Well, there was lots of burning bushes in those days in the desert. The Bible says, but when he turned aside, then God spoke from within the burning bush. He turned aside to see why the bush did not burn up. See, God's always burning there with an encounter. There's always angels around. There's always, angels are just agents bringing heavenly release with God. They help steward heaven for your benefit. I don't worship angels, but I don't ignore them. Neither do I worship you, but I don't ignore you. I know God has given them to me, and they come through glimpses and just shadows and all of those kind of things. It's just a very, the relationship with heaven, you have to walk by faith to access it. Because it's dim sometimes. You don't see fully. It's not like you're whisked out of your body and it's this wowish encounter with God. No, it's dim. A vision means a mental picture that flashes across your mind. That's how God is speaking to you. But when you take time to turn aside and look to it, then you hear God begin to increase that encounter and bring you into more. You can encounter God throughout the day. You don't have to be in a prayer room to do it. But I had to spend 8 or 10 hours a day for years to even learn how to hear Him so that I could then begin to walk with Him outside of that into other things where I could hear Him wherever I'm going. I'm always swinging in and then swinging out to people. Swinging into God, swinging out. I may be having conversations here with someone else, but internally I'm having conversations with God as well. Brother Lawrence, who was, several hundred years ago, he was someone that we get the, you know, the practicing the presence of God with. He was a monk, and he would, you know, people wanted him to go have his prayer time in this time. But he says, you know what? I am encountering Jesus washing the dishes. And people would come from everywhere just to watch him because he glowed under the presence of God washing the dishes because he learned how to swing in while he'd have this relationship with God through everything he was doing. Everything comes out of relationship. You can get a healing key. You can get a joy key. You can get a deliverance key. You can get a financial key. You can get all those keys as principles. But God didn't want to give you those as principles. He wanted you to encounter Him in a relationship. You know, when you get the King, you get everything. That's why the Scripture says, they cast out demons in my name. They healed the sick in my name. I never knew them. That doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. That word new is genosko, which means intimacy between husband and wife. They did all this stuff in my name, but we didn't have that relationship, that intimacy along the way. I love all the perks of being in the kingdom. But that's what the Lord told Peter. At this revelation, you get all the keys of the kingdom. At the revelation of Him being Jesus, your King. Intimacy. I love the perks. I don't discount the perks of healing, the deliverance, and all those. Those are the gifts of God. That's stupidity for me to go, oh, Dad, I don't want those gifts. It'd be like Christmas time when I give, I spend all this time and effort and thought about my kids and thought about all these wonderful gifts I wanted to give them. I wanted to give them a great Christmas. I sacrificed, I saved up, and I just wanted to fill that Christmas tree and fill that room as far as I could with all the things that they wanted. And then I get to Christmas, and oh, I don't want any of those gifts. I just want this one. What does that do to the Father's heart? Because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you good things. So I want it all. But if I get it all, and I didn't get the main thing, I missed it. I want his face and I want his hand. Ah. I mean, we know the passages. They're nothing new to us, but you know, Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, just enthralled in his glory, and Martha is doing the work of the ministry. And Jesus didn't say, you know, there's no need for that, but he said the better place is to start in this place of intimacy. Yeah, you need to, the relationship with God has to result in some work. The grace of God results in some things we give away to demonstrate his love to others, but don't miss the main thing. You know, Daddy gives a good gift. Whenever I get a good, what does a good gift do to you? It turns your heart to the giver. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you touched my heart. When it really comes and hits right in the right way. God gives gifts to draw us into his love. To show us how much he loves us. He gives us gifts every day. Remember once I was just driving my car actually to visit my earthly father, and this thought in my head, you know what? I just want a rubber ball. One of those handballs that's in your hand. I was in my 30s, but I was just thinking, I want a rubber ball to play with. Kiddish thought. I know it's crazy, but just had one of those childish moments. And I drove a couple hours to see my father. And when I got there to see my father says, son, I was just thinking about you today. And I just decided to get you a gift. And I brought you a rubber ball. It was only worth such a fraction, but you know how much that meant to me? God loves to give us good gifts, and he even gave it through my earthly dad. He cares. Just recently, I received a very wonderful piano. It's called a Steinway piano. Very expensive. One of the best pianos that are out, the grand piano. Just given to me. Not a sloppy piano, an amazing, excellent, has 90 years of life on it. This is the top of the line that professional pianists want to play. Just given to me by a guy I never even met, just met one time. The Lord told him to give it to me. I didn't pray for it. I didn't do anything to earn it. I wasn't asking for it. I wasn't hinting around about it. A few months before, I met a man a couple hours, and the Lord tells him, I want you to give Keith a Harley Davidson. Gives me almost a brand new Harley Davidson, which is a really amazing motorcycle. Loud, just, oh man. He knows I love motorcycles. I gave my motorcycle up 5 years ago. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't pressing into God for it. It just came. Daddy loves me. I heard the father say, Keith, all I want you to do is say thanks. That's it. Thanks. This is what it's like to be in a relationship. Remember the prodigal son? The older brother is working so hard. All these years I've spent working for you, Dad, and I didn't even take a little lamb to enjoy myself. And the father says, son, whoa. Everything is yours. It's yours. You don't have to earn it. It's yours. Oh. It's all yours. It's a part of the relationship. We get to steward it together. We get to enjoy it together. I love it when God gives me something for free because it really messes with me. Because most of the things I've got, I've had to work for. And there's a biblical principle about a strong work ethic. But it's wonderful when the Father just says, you're my son. I love you. I like hanging out with you. I want to give you something. I thought you'd enjoy it. There's no purpose in it. I just thought it'd overwhelm your heart and it'd make you feel even more loved. See, David was a man after the Lord's own heart, that the Lord just said, in the book of Acts, David's tent was the only tent that the Lord talked about rebuilding. He didn't talk about rebuilding the Temple of Solomon in all its glory. He didn't talk about building Moses' tabernacle. He talked about restoring the tent of David. In Acts, I think it's 16, 15, somewhere in there. I'll restore the tent of David so all people will seek my face. What does that mean? So everyone, every relation, every nation, every tribe, every tongue will have a relationship with me, will see me face to face, will enjoy me. I'll restore this tent. What is this tent? It's this place of access. How did he restore it? He sent Jesus. Jesus is the way. When you say yes to Jesus, the way comes in you. You have access to the Father. It's not supposed to be a concept. Sometimes we receive something as a concept. We love concepts and Greek thinking. If you're in a Western world, you've had Greek thinking taught in you. It's all about getting the concept, and we got to understand the concept. And I love concepts. I love the Word. I love digging into the Hebrew and the Greek and figuring out all that. I love all of that. But he didn't die for a concept. He died for a relationship. So the access isn't supposed to be something we technically know and just go about our own way. It was meant to draw us into this relationship with the Father. And then whatever we get to do, he wants us to enjoy with him. He said, Keith, I thought you'd enjoy going to the nations with your wife and family. I thought it'd be a wonderful way for you and me to have a relationship together and you to have a relationship with your family. It'd be a wonderful way for us to get caught up. I just thought it'd be a wonderful thing to do. It's not all about saving every soul that's out there. It's not all about reaching every person that needs reach. That's a part of it. But I thought we'd do it together and we'd enjoy it together because we're going to have a relationship together and we can walk together in this whole process. See, David, why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he loved God before he had the platform. He wasn't trying to find the platform. He just loved Jesus when he was taking care of a sheep. He wasn't recognized by anyone else, but God saw him. Because God sees relationship. I don't have a relationship with God to earn God's favor. I have a relationship with God because I've been overwhelmed by God's favor. But you can grow in favor with God and man by cultivating that. You can actually grow in favor with God. Jesus himself did. David had this wonderful relationship with God, and what was one of the first things that happened? He got an opportunity to minister to the king, Saul at the time, and because his gift of his presence and playing just loving on Jesus, loving on the Father, he played and it drove demons away from the king. His gift began to make room for him. And his gift released a boldness in him that said, we got to take out that Goliath. Wasn't that David just a warrior on his own? No, he had a relationship with God that taught him when no one else was around. Take out the lion, take out the bear. God's with me. I love God. I love seeing God come through. I'm going to protect what's been given me. It's 30 sheep, but I'm going to protect it very well. And then God says, now I'm going to let you take out the giant and rescue thousands because you have love for me. David didn't come in there with his... He said, it's not by sword that this is going to be won. You're going to see this is the Lord that's doing this. It's this relationship with God. It's this, when you're in love with God, you're just enjoying God and overwhelmed by God, God shows up and then you get to have these fun battles and take out the enemy. And he thought it'd be fun. He thought you'd get a great adventure and having to get into some pressure, into some difficulty, into some trial and bring the kingdom and rah! He thought you'd enjoy that because that pressure is drawing you to him. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. And eventually that love bursts the trial. God thought you'd enjoy it. We're just enduring trials. God says, count it all joy. I'm not saying the trial is God, but God is only going to give you what he knows you can handle. Not eliminated from trials because we're in this earth. There are trials in this earth. But there's trials in this earth until the fullness of the body is revealed, until we so manifest his glory that it finally boots out every remnant of the demonic in every realm of influence. It won't be booted out. You can't sustain going after the devil, because it's not about going after the devil. It's about just loving on Jesus, letting love on you, being overwhelmed with him, spending time with him, accessing the Father. I teach my children what the Jews taught their children. I teach my children the theophanies. The theophanies are every place in the Bible where people had a God encounter. The God sightings is what a theophany is. Anytime in Scripture, Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees the Lord, and you know the train fills the temple, and the cherubim are crying, holy, holy, that's a theophany. Daniel, when Daniel sees the God of fire, the fire coming out of the throne, and then, you know, the fire is destroying the enemy, that's a theophany. In the book of Revelation, you know, in Revelation 1, here's John seeing Jesus, eyes of fire, and oh, a sword coming out of his mouth, and his hair white as snow, and his face like the sun. Those are the theophanies. I teach my children those, and I encounter those. I get in those passages because those are encounters. Those are invitations into encounters with God. As we have to find those access points into the heavenly realm where we're already seated. We have to learn, we have to find that there's like windows that we go through. Everywhere we go, all around us, the Word is a window. That's why I get into the Word. That's why the Bible says meditate on the Word. That doesn't mean mindless. That means no intentional thinking upon a passage that leaps off the page at you. Have you ever read a scripture and it didn't mean anything? Then you read it again, it's like, whoa, that's God. See, I don't read scripture to read, oh, I read 10 pages today. It's not about the pages to me. If I encounter him in verse 3, I stop there. I read it quickly until it lights up and sticks out at the page, because I know that's God saying something. I love Psalms 23. Sometimes I'm in difficult places. You don't feel God every day. Sometimes you get up and you feel nothing. You feel a brick wall. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't feel real great. You don't feel real encouraged. You don't feel real joyful. But I know I can't go a whole day feeling this way. I've got to find God. So I get into the Psalms, and I'm trying to find in the Psalms something that connects with my heart that I can begin to, it'll ignite me. Get into Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And oh, I shall not want leaps up. Oh, I lack nothing. And I begin to meditate. That word meditate means to chew like a cow chews his cud. He brings the food down to one stomach, then down to another, pulls it up, brings it down. He just constantly meditates on the same thing over and over again until there's this wonderful, yeah, I know it's kind of a gory picture, but you know, you get the point. I meditate on the Word, because that's an encounter with God. That's a way to encounter God, and that provokes me. I can either come in to the relationship with God through the revelation of the Word, or I can come in through the Spirit. If I come in through the Spirit, I end in the Word. If I come in the Word, I end in the Spirit encounter. The Word always brings you into invitation into an encounter. An encounter always needs to be locked into the Word. There are so many wonderful goodies available in the kingdom. I just want to close with this. How many of you saw the Esther movie that came out? What was it called? One Night with the King. Great movie on Esther in the Bible. And the passage in the story, these ladies know that they only get one night with the king, and they've gone through all this beauty treatment, and they're told you can bring whatever you want from this place of jewelry and all this gold and all this stuff. You can wear whatever you want into that one night with the king. And if he doesn't pick you, you get to keep it. So some of the ladies, they don't think they're going to get more than one night with the king, so they're completely covered with all this gold and jewelry. And it's not about the king, it's about what they're going to get. But Esther, when she comes before the king, she doesn't wear any jewelry except one little simple piece of jewelry that was hers already. It wasn't glamorous, it wasn't anything, and she won the heart of the king. Listen, if you win the heart of the king, you get everything. The keys of the kingdom are given to, what is the keys of the kingdom? That's the access to everything, wealth, resources, blessing, peace, joy, relational reconciliation, everything that you need for life and godliness is given to you when you get the revelation. Oh, you're my king. Oh, I love being with you. You love me so much. You open the way and I'm not just going to let it sit like that as a philosophy. I'm going to enter into that grace. I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to come before you every day. I'm going to come before that banqueting table every day. I'm going to partake of you, because that's that relationship with God. Oh, I'm going to enjoy your goodness every day, Lord Jesus. And it says it in Proverbs. When you find wisdom, then you get riches, you get wealth, you get long life. But if you seek long life, if you seek riches, if you seek all that, you lose the wisdom. I'm not saying you're all going to be a millionaire, but I'm saying you'll have everything you have need of for life and godliness. And you'll be blessed even financially. You will. God wants to bless you physically. Did you know that? This gospel is not just a spiritual gospel. It's not just something that's for the other side. Bible says those who have left houses, family, fields for my name will receive in this lifetime 100-fold. For my name, what did they do? Oh, Jesus, you're the big deal. We left it all for you. We love you so much, Jesus. And Jesus, oh, I'm going to find a way to bless him back, because I'm a good dad and I want to shower blessings on him. He's a good dad. I want to just pray over you. We're going to have a good time tonight at 6 o'clock. Come, I believe the Lord's going to release healing. If you need physical healing in your bodies, come tonight expecting a miracle. It's going to encounter God tonight. But this morning, I just want to pray for you that you would just get a revelation of, oh, Daddy, that's right there, just wanting to enjoy you even today. And you'd get so provoked and hungry. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I don't want to lose this wonderful relationship. I don't want to make it to heaven and have missed the joy of the relationship along the way. Because that's what grace gave us. It gave us a relationship. It wasn't just for freedom to do whatever we wanted to do and not think about God. It was because he thought, I'm going to make it so easy on them that they can't help. There's not going to be any more shame any longer. They have no excuse not to access me. I'm going to remove it all. I'm going to remove the punishment so they can access and enjoy me in the way. And when you enjoy God, you don't want to have sin in your life. Because it's so wonderful. Oh, I love you, Jesus, and this is so dirty. It's so less than this wonderful thing. You don't even wrestle with the sin because, oh, you've been caught up in his glory and his goodness and his love for you. So I just bless you to just get raptured and captured and opened up to the encounter of Jesus and what he did for you. And you wouldn't just leave it as a philosophy. You would have the permission of the Father to access heaven right now in your spirit. I just call for your eyes and your ears to be opened up, your heart to be opened up to receive and enjoy and embrace the Father of lights who loves to give good gifts to his children. And I just bless you that you are worthy to come before him. And he's inside of you, that you're in him. You know this, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never said yes and you've never taken that initial step to respond to what he did to you, it's as simple as just saying, ah, yes, Lord, you are the king. You are my king. And I want to just give you that opportunity this morning to do that. Whoa. If you've never taken that initial step to say yes to the King, or maybe you've fallen away and you want to come back and just say, yes, I want to pursue this relationship. I want you just to stand this morning. I want to just pray for you. I know that it might seem a little embarrassing to stand, but I want you just to stand because I want to release a specific blessing over you. If you've never said yes to the King, you want to say yes to the King, today's your day. This is a house of harvest. There ought to be regular folks coming into the kingdom in this place. Whew. Daddy so loved you that he sent his son Jesus. Just going to give you another moment. I feel like there's a mother with two children. The Lord has been after your heart. You know who you are. He's bringing you in. Who is that? Just stand. I just want to bless you. We're not going to embarrass you, but we just want to pray over you. We want to celebrate your coming into the kingdom, coming into the family. Ha ha ha. All right. I bless you guys. Have an awesome day. God bless you.
Thank you, Keith. It was just outstanding. It's been an awesome weekend, and looking forward to tonight. God bless. Have a good day.